Amen. Thank God the love of Jesus is something wonderful. Amen. Just remain standing and turn, if you will, Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. And Lord willing, I'm going to finish our study of the first three chapters of the book of Revelation tonight. Give the final message on this third chapter, seventh letter. Let me take just a moment while you're finding your place and singing that song there. I just had a little nudge, thought about, you know, this morning I preached and we testified thanking God for our mothers. And I'm going to tell you, the love of a mother is something wonderful. Amen. It's scriptural, by the way, and I'm not exalting a woman higher than the scripture does, I don't believe. But when Mary had the Lord Jesus, as a matter of fact, when the angel came, Gabriel came to tell her about it, he said, "Thou art highly favored above women." Now, he didn't bow down and worship her, and he doesn't want us to bow down and worship her. We're not worshiping Mary. Amen. But he did say she's highly favored and even above women, that God had given her a great blessing. And then when she, after having that child, they go to the temple and she's getting ready to circumcise the child, getting ready to offer her offering for uncleanness. There, Simeon shows up. You know the story. Simeon shows up and Simeon said this to her. He talks about, "This child is set for the rising and the fall of many in Israel." But he says this, he said, "A sword, yea, and a sword shall pierce thine own heart also." You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the love of a mother. That Mary was going to be there to see every bit of it. She hid all these things in her heart. She watched the Lord as he grew. She watched the Lord as he went out in his public ministry. And I don't know how close she was and all that. I know she was there in John 2 at the wedding at Cana. I know she was there. Matter of fact, involved in some of that. I don't know how much she was later. There's other times that the Bible talks about she came and his brothers and sisters wanting to talk to him. You remember that story. And the Lord said, "Who is my mother and my brethren and my sisters?" And he talked about that little church group. So apparently Mary was on the outside of that. She was not on the inside of that gathering of his disciples, that early, early church that he started before the day of Pentecost. But yet, Mary was there right up to the cross, amen. Even there, I believe she was involved in the empty tomb. But there at the cross, Mary stood there. That's a mother's love that goes all the way, amen. And so, I thank God, there's something wonderful about a mother's love. But there's something more wonderful than that. And that's the love of Jesus, amen. Amen. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? There'll never be a sweeter story. That's what the song said, and it's right. Amen. Nothing more precious than the love of Jesus. Amen. All right. Having said that, we'll look in our scripture. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 is where we start reading and read down through verse number 22. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me." These two verses are the ones we're going to look at tonight. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. 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 Help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate the prayer. Amen. Well, as I said, we've come to the close of our study of these seven letters to the seven churches of Asia. And really the closing moments of this seventh letter, the final letter, the letter to the church of the Laodiceans. And as we've done all the other letters, we divided it into five sections and tried to look at these five things. We've already studied the address. And notice that our Lord could find not one good thing to say in admiration to this church. Then we looked at the admonition and his advice to the church and the pastor at some depth. And the advice primarily, the admonition being, notice how far you've drifted. And the advice being, come back, listen to my voice, open the door, and let's experience revival in the house of God again. Now tonight I want to look at this final thing which I call the advantage. And that is the rewards or award for being an overcomer. Really, the advantage of obeying the Lord and hearing His voice. Now, just as the Lord had promised every church, each and every church in these seven letters before this, He promised them special blessings to those who would be overcomers. He alludes the same here. Matter of fact, I find it interesting that a group of people could be so far down, so far dead as the church of the Laodiceans, and yet there'd be some overcomers in that crowd. That gives me hope. Amen. That ought to give us all hope that even in this last day, even in these dark hours, even in this dead time, there could be some that could hear the voice of God, that could obey the Spirit's command and could become overcomers. Amen. We can change our own diligence. We can put a little bit more, a little bit more action into our serving the Lord. We can become champions for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll say this. This is a little bit carnal, but it'll help you realize what I'm talking about here about changing things. I can remember as a boy, Dad didn't approve of going to the movie theater. Amen. Amen. We was independent Baptists. We didn't believe in going to the movie theater. We didn't believe in bringing them to the house. We didn't do that. I'm just telling you that we didn't. And still don't, by the way. Amen. But what I was going to say, we did have a television. And Dad was very careful about what allowed. So when Rocky came along, we didn't get to see the first Rocky till there was three or four or however many there was. You know, I'd heard about it, heard people talk about it, but we didn't get to watch it. But I remember as a boy, I was a teenager already by then, and remember watching Rocky and seeing all, watching him run up them steps, and they're playing all that song by them Sodomites, "We Are the Champions," and they're going through all that kind of stuff. And I, you know what I did? I went to my bedroom, Brother Hall, and I started doing push-ups. I started doing one-handed push-ups. I started trying to do all this kind of, not saying that I was good at it, but I started trying to do some of that stuff because I got pumped up and I'd get to thinking about it. I wanted to be a champion. I mean, if Sylvester Stallone could come back and be a champion, I thought I can do it too. Well, here's what I'm saying. We've got a true story better than any Rocky, better than any Sylvester Stallone. I'm about a true story of a man that was a true champion, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who fought the ultimate battle and He's given us the opportunity that we too can be champions like Him. Amen. And by the way, He deserves for somebody to step up to the plate and be a champion for Him. Amen. Amen. And so He gives us here this advice or the advantage really telling us that we can be overcomers if we'll only heed His voice. Amen. And I want to notice three things about the text this evening and then we'll be done. First of all, I want to notice the declaration of awards. He's announcing that there's going to be awards to him that overcometh. will I grant to sit with me in my throne. The declaration of awards. And then there's going to be the determination of application. He mentions here this thing that is determined. He said, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in the throne. And then last of all, we'll look at the demand for attention. In verse number 2, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, first of all, the declaration of awards. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That's not talking about the throne of heaven. Christ is on the throne with God. He mentions that on His throne, God the Father's throne. Christ is set down at the right hand of God the Father. But in the millennial kingdom, Christ is going to have an earthly throne, which is the throne of David. He's going to rule and reign over the world, and especially the nation of Israel, in that day of the millennial reign. And He's saying here, there's room for others to sit with me. Matter of fact, He said to those 12 disciples, 12 apostles, you're going to have 12 thrones, and you're going to judge the nations. Amen. And so we see it all through the Scriptures that He's talking about sharing His throne and having room for others to rule and to reign with Him. Now, Christ said He is the faithful witness. That's what He started out this text with in verse number 14. He says, the faithful and true witness. And so our Lord is faithful to reward faithfulness. I thought that, you know, this is really good on Mother's Day to be finishing up with this point. Sometimes, a lot of times, our faithfulness to the Lord goes unseen. It goes unrecognized. The time you spend in the prayer closet, you're not announcing that and bragging about that. At least, I hope not. If so, you get your reward now. But if you're just doing it for the Lord, you get a reward in glory. Our Lord's paying attention. Amen. He said, He, my Father, which seeth in secret. He's watching what we do in that secret place. Amen. And so He is faithful to reward faithfulness in any generation and in any era of Christianity. And I believe that He's still keeping a watch and keeping a record. Although many things go unnoticed on the earth, yet God takes special notice of the afflictions and the service of His people. And there will be a rewarding day one of these days. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now in the case of the one who would overcome here of the church of the Laodiceans, I thought about what would they have to overcome. Well, first of all, they got to overcome that lukewarm state, that mediocrity. Amen. That mediocrity that had just drifted in and everybody was just self-complacent. I mean, they just satisfied with where they were. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to overcome for the Lord, we're going to have to overcome that mediocrity that has gripped the church. We're going to have to decide, I want to be more than just a nominal Christian. I want to be more than just a labeled Christian. I want to glorify my Lord. Amen. If we're going to be a real overcomer. Then I got to think about not only what they must overcome in the church of the Laodiceans, but what we must overcome in our day in order to merit Christ's rewards. And I'll say this, the greatest of all enemies that must be conquered is our own fleshly will. Amen. Amen. The greatest enemy that must be conquered is our own fleshly will. We must allow ourselves to become of no reputation in order to please the Lord. He made Himself of no reputation, and He's not pleased with us when we're trying to make a reputation for ourselves. Amen. When we're trying to toot our own horn, when we're trying to sing our own praise, He's not happy with that. But if we'll make ourselves of no reputation, we'll be more like Jesus, we'll serve God faithfully on earth, then we'll hear Him say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Amen. Now that's not talking about doing good and getting into heaven. That's talking about doing good and getting into the kingdom rule part of His reign in the millennial kingdom, I believe. Amen. So we can hear Him say, well done, if we'll do well. If we'll be faithful. If we'll destroy and defeat our own self-will and become more like Jesus. I put these things this way. If we live for self, we'll lose the crown. If we live for the moment, we will forfeit the throne. If we please or seek to please ourselves, we will fail to please the Lord. But if we will deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him. We'll become His disciples and we'll become His servants and we will be crowned as overcomers. Amen. Amen. And then if we live for eternity and not just for time, but we live for eternity, we can lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. And we can be granted to sit on the throne with our Lord in His millennial kingdom. So He declares that there are awards for those that will overcome. Now, it seems to me, and I'm going to deal more with this point than the others, and it usually it seems like that's I zero in on the first part and then bring these other things in. Seems like that's the way the Lord's led me in this. But in this thing about overcoming for Christ, it appears to me that in our modern day Christianity, there seems to be far too many that have absolutely no warfare. There's no battles. There's no struggles in their life. They just repeat the prayer and they're just coasting the glory. Right. Nothing to do. Nothing to change, nothing to stop, nothing to start. Just repeat a prayer and coast to glory. But that's not the Christianity of Paul the Apostle. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, and I want to show you some verses that Paul used in 1 and 2 Timothy we're going to look at, and also in Corinthians' epistle. But I want to look first 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so you might want to sort of hold your place around there in Timothy because we're coming back. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. Paul's talking to this young man, Timothy. He's giving him some advice. Let's start with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall teach others, who shall be able to teach others also. Look at this. Thou, therefore, endure hardness. That sounds foreign to today's Christianity. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive lawfully, yet is he not crowned except, and if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now hold on right there just a minute. Think about this. These verses talk about enduring hardness. These verses talk about being a good soldier. These verses talk about warring and laboring and striving. Now, that doesn't sound like coasting in the glory. That doesn't sound like being carried to glory on flowery beds of ease. Amen. Sounds to me like a struggle to beat down our old nature. A struggle to keep down those fleshly temptations. A struggle to stay in the perfect will of God and fight against evil. Amen. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, you better be ready to fight. Amen. Not fighting the government. Not fighting against flesh and blood, we'll get there in a minute. But he said, you better be ready to fight your own flesh and fight the desires of the flesh and the temptations of the world and the devil that he's going to throw at you. Amen. Now, hold your place in Timothy. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And Paul is saying to the Corinthians, he's talking about himself and he's using an illustration about running in a race and using the illustration of the games that they were familiar with at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach unto others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said when they're running in a race, they don't just practice the day they run. They practice every day for that race. They don't just abstain and be careful what they eat on the day they're running or on the day before they're running. They're careful about what they eat every day. They are striving for the masteries. They're careful of that thing. I'm telling you, he's telling us that this life of living for Jesus is not just looking out there and waiting for glory to come, but it's living day by day by day by day in the perfect will of God, keeping down our own lust and our own passions and our own desires and our own dreams and living for Jesus rather than living for self. Amen. That's what it's going to take to be an overcomer. Paul, I believe, was an overcomer. And Paul said, I keep under my body. I'm careful about it. He's talking about running a race. He's talking about running all. I believe he's talking about running all out. Amen. Give it everything you've got. Praise God. Amen. And then he's talking about running to obtain a prize. He says striving for the mastery. And he talked about running and fighting. Now, turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at a few verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. When you find that, hold that and go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I missed this one. I need to bring this one in. Hold your place. 2 Timothy 4. We'll look just a minute. 1 Timothy 6. Verse number 12. You know it. I'm sure you know it. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now hold on a minute. Paul's talking about laying hold on eternal life. Fighting the good fight. Does that mean hanging on for dear life? Hanging on for eternal life? No, that's not what he's talking about. That's talking about hang on for the crown. You've got Paul. Timothy was already saved. When Paul's talking about that you've made a good profession of salvation, he's not just talking about that you've been saved from death unto life. He said there's more than life. There is abundant life. There is not only eternal life. I believe there is an abundant life in the kingdom of our Lord. And he said, Timothy, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to stand. You're going to have to do some battle if you're going to be an overcomer and gain that victory. Amen. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 5 and 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, 6 and 7. But watch thou, again talking to Timothy, watch thou in all things. Be careful now about all these things he's saying. Be careful about, don't let anything bring you into bondage is what he's talking about. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul said, I've strived for it. Now I can see the finish line. And Timothy, I'm here to tell you that it'll be worth the fight. Stay in the battle and maintain those good works and keep on serving God, and it'll be worth the fight and worth the endeavor if you'll do it. Amen. Now he's talking about fighting. Again, that sounds foreign to modern Christianity. A battle going on. Fighting a good fight of faith. Laying hold. Enduring afflictions. Finishing the course. Keeping the faith. Those things sound foreign to this generation. And that's why I believe Jude, in writing the letter to he's going to write about the common salvation. And he said the Lord directed him that it was needful that he write and encourage us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Here's what I believe he's saying. In these last days, Jude is the entryway into the book of Revelation. Jude, somebody said, if the book of Revelation is the main room, is the sanctuary, then Jude is the vestibule. It's the area you come into, getting ready to come into that main room. And Jude is dealing with last day apostasy. He's dealing with all the sins that are prevalent in our day today. By the way, we are there. Amen. We may not be in the book of Revelation yet, but we're definitely in the book of Jude. Amen. And Jude's talking about the troubles that we're going to have. And he said, you better learn that you can't just coast to glory. We're going to have to do some battling. We're going to have to do some contending. We're going to have to do some standing and fighting against the flesh if we're going to be overcomers. Amen. Now, one more. Hebrews chapter number 10. We'll look at this verse and then I'm going to move on. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm talking about the declaration of awards. There's a battle. There is a battle. But there's rewards for those that do battle with the flesh. The writer of Hebrews, whether it's Paul or not, I believe it was, but he sounds a lot like Paul, his writings to Timothy and his writings to the Corinthians in this verse, chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 32. He's reminding them of when they first got in. But call to remembrance the former days, talking about when you first got saved, in which after ye were illuminated, right after you saw the light, that's what he said, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. You know what he's saying? He's saying there was a battle when you first got saved. There's battles that take place, and it is a multifaceted war that we're battling in. Amen. There are multifaceted battles in the life of a Christian. I'm going to mention four of the facets of this battle as I move in this point, talking about the declaration of awards. First of all, there is an inner or internal warfare. There's battles go on the inside. A battle to overcome our own weaknesses. Amen. A battle to overcome our own desires. And that does not, when you say desires, that does not mean necessarily desiring after a woman or desiring after a man. It could just be desiring for praise. It could just be desiring for popularity and a position. It could just mean the desire for ease, because we want to be at ease in Zion. Amen. We've got to overcome those inward battles. Temptations. I could name a lot of things that are internal battles. Secondly, there's external battles. We got the world fighting against us and the devil fighting against us. Amen. The devil and the world have legions of soldiers that come against us, and we have to maintain a distance from them, and we got to also maintain a defense against them. Amen. I would suspect that probably most people in our auditorium tonight, if I were to ask you, some of you live out in the country, maybe you don't have to, but if you lived in town like I do, you probably lock your door at night, don't you? Now, there was a time when my parents first got married, and my wife's parents first got married. I've heard them tell about they first got married. They didn't even, her parents said they didn't even have a bedroom that did not have the bedroom suit. They just laid a mattress in the front room, and they left the door open because they didn't have air conditioner. Left the door open and a screen door, and it wasn't even latched. Lay there and go to sleep, not think anything about it. But you don't do that today. You lock your door. You know why? Because you know there's crooks out there. You know there's criminals out there. You know there's crackheads out there. You know there's sodomites out there. You know there's all kinds of people that would love to come in and do harm to you and your family. So you lock your door. Here's what I'm saying. As a Christian, we ought to be aware that there are enemies out there that want to come in and do us damage. There's the devil and the world, as well as the flesh on the inside. And so we better put up a defense and build our fortresses strong on the Word of God. Amen. If we're going to overcome. There's not only internal warfare and eternal warfare, there's a daily warfare. Every day. It's not just one big warfare. Boy, I got that behind me. I'm all right now. No. Day by day. Battle after battle. There is a constant war going on. Amen. There is no intermission and no discharge in this war. Amen. The enemy will not quit. So neither should we. Amen. The enemy will not quit, so neither should we. We were talking in the prayer room, got talking about war and things like that, and talking about how that really, and we've not done this in years, really since World War II, we've not fought a war just to flat win the thing. That's how it ought to be fought. You ought to fight till there's no enemy soldiers standing. Amen. That's how we ought to fight this Christian life. Listen. We've got a battle today, but tomorrow we'll have another one. Amen. Daily warfare. Don't think, well, I can coast today. I'm looking forward just to coasting for a few weeks. Even when you go on vacation, the devil does not take a vacation. Amen. Heard a story one time, said this old lady never said anything bad about anybody. Always said good things about people. And so her grandchildren made up, they was going to try to get her to say something bad about somebody. They tried to think of who they could get her to say something bad about. So finally one Sunday afternoon after Sunday dinner, they're sitting around talking, and one of the grandchildren come up and they said, "Granny, what do you think about the devil?" Said she thought about it a minute. She said, "Well, He stays on the job, don't he? I say amen to that. He stays on the job. That means we better keep our soldiers out front too. We better keep our arms up and our eyes open. We better beware of all things. Amen. The enemy does not quit. We better get up every morning and put our spiritual armor on. We better gird our sword every day to do battle with the devil and the flesh and the world. Amen. And then number four, it's a spiritual warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. Amen. We might use a spiritual AK-47. We don't use AK-47s in this war. We use a 1611. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But this warfare that we're fighting is not a carnal warfare. The weapons are not carnal. We do not war after the flesh. We do not war with flesh and blood. And so we don't use fleshly weapons. Therefore, we need divine strength. Amen. Divine strength. That's what Paul talked about in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. We can't stand in our own strength. We need divine strength because this is a spiritual warfare that we're in. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul said we've got weapons that can help us control our thoughts and control our minds. I'm convinced that in these last days, the battle is for the minds of men and women and boys and girls. The mind. There's a whole lot of things that are capturing the minds, corrupting the minds of little boys and girls and grown men and women. The devil is after our mind, and God says we better battle for it. We better fight for it. That's why we need to wash our mind. Amen. He said those folks are brainwashed. Brother Lester Roloff said, I plead guilty. He said, but we only use pure King James wash water to wash their brains. Amen. Amen. Well, we've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what we need as our weapon. There is a declaration of award. Secondly, there's the determination of achievement. Look at verse 21 in our text again, Revelation 3:21, the last phrase, the determination of achievement. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Now this, to use a modern day term, this blows my mind. Rattles my cage, if you want to say it that way. How can you comprehend that our Lord is saying to the church at Laodicea, by the way, He's saying, there's a battle going on, and if you'll fight it, you'll be like me. If you will fight against the flesh and against the devil and against sin in general, if you'll stand against them, you will be like me. He compares and uses the similitude of our battles with His battles, our victory with His victory. Amen. Notice that Christ refers to His overcoming victories and refers to the overcoming victories of His servants as being comparable with one another. Amen. I thought about this. Our Lord, you look at the battles that He fought on earth. I'm talking about on earth. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 deals with what we call the temptation in the wilderness. When our Lord faced the devil, and again, go back to something that Lester Roloff said. He said the Lord climbed into that boxing ring with the devil, and that ring involved the wilderness experience. And he said the Lord hit three licks with the King James Bible and KO'd the devil for the time being. Amen. But you look at that wilderness experience when Christ faced the devil and overcame him, and it is recorded in the eternal pages of the Word of God. And when we get to glory, we'll be reading about the victories of our Savior and our Lord saying, here, just like you've got a record of my victories. He said, I'm keeping a record of yours. And there may come a day when we get over yonder in the glory world, or at least in the millennial kingdom, there may come a day when He reads to us about some of our overcoming exploits and gives us honors and awards for those exploits. Praise God. Amen. That's some kind of a Savior. That's some kind of a faithful witness. That's some kind of a faithful judge. Amen. Righteous judge is going to give us those accolades. Amen. Now, think with me a moment about what Christ overcame in order to sit on the throne of God. I spoke earlier about how Christ overcame Satan. He overcame the sin and the flesh. But He also overcame death and hell. Right? He overcame death and hell. And I'd like for every one of us to contemplate that, and I want to ask you the question, do you have what it takes to overcome death and hell? You say, preacher, how can I know? How can I know if I'll have what it takes to overcome death and hell? I'll tell you this. Just like Christ overcame it because He overcame those other things, if we have overcoming power to overcome sin, to overcome the flesh, to overcome the devil, then we can hope and believe and trust that we have overcoming power then to overcome death and hell, because it's not in our power that we overcome the flesh, the sin, and the world, and the devil. Amen. It's not our power. We're relying on His power. It's not our power that overcomes death and hell. But here's what I'm going to say. If we don't have the power to overcome sin, if we fall to every temptation that comes along, and we fail over and over and over in this life, we better be careful and ask God, Lord, do I really have that overcoming power to overcome death and hell? I see a generation of people, they've repeated the prayers, they think they're going to coast into glory. They still drink, they still curse, they still run with the world. No change in their life. What gives them any hope that they're going to overcome death and hell when they can't even overcome this silly society we live in? Amen. We have hope. Because just as Christ overcame all those things, we're trusting Him. And by the way, how can we have overcoming power? There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. That's what the song says. Amen. You can get that overcoming. Would you be free? Amen. I'm telling you, you can get that overcoming power through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, remember this, that our Lord was the first one on this battlefield. As the captain of our salvation, amen, He stepped out front and fought the battles for us, amen. Now, He didn't have the inner warfare that you and I have, because He was God in the flesh, amen. He didn't have to battle some of the things, the inner warfare that we face. But He had the outer, He had all those others. He had the outer, He had the daily, He had the spiritual battles that was going on, and He had them much more than you and I have. You know the devil poured on more pressure on the Lord than He's ever poured on you or I. And yet our Lord stood, and here's what He's saying. He's saying, I was victorious. I am victorious. And if you will stand, you can be victorious just like I am. Just like I overcame it, and the Father gave me the privilege to sit on the throne with Him. He said, you can be overcomers, and you can have the privilege to sit on my throne when I rule and reign on the throne of David throughout the millennial kingdom. Amen. Here's what the Bible said, John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what He said. Amen. Our Lord's saying to us, if we share in His battles, we can share in His victories. And if we share in His battles and in His victories, we can share in the throne as well. Praise God. There is a determination. Amen. Well, think about this reward being offered to those that will arise from their mediocrity and that lukewarmness that had swept into that church of the Laodiceans. Christ is promising them a throne in the kingdom. Amen. Abundant life. A throne represents a lot of things. A throne represents honor, represents dignity, represents power, authority, glory, and dominion. All these are offered to that one that would overcome. Matter of fact, anyone that would heed Christ's warning and would overcome, even those who had been asleep in Laodicea. Amen. Now, the last thing. Notice number 3. Verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There's the demand or the demanding of attention. Every one of these letters have this in it, some at different places than at the very end, but the last four, I believe, have it at the very end. And he's mentioning that if you've got an ear, if God has granted you the ability to hear, he said you need to listen to what he's saying. He's concluding this as a reminder that these instructions were not just intended for these individual churches, but they were intended for everybody that can read them, everybody that can hear them, everybody that can understand them, anybody. He wants us to learn from these instructions. He wants us to listen to this correction, and he wants us to get a hold of these rewards that he's offering for it. Whosoever will may come. Amen. These instructions, admonitions, and rewards were intended to benefit any and all who will listen and learn from their contents. Here's what I believe. If we fall into the same temptations and difficulties that these seven churches fell into, we can expect the same punishments and the same chastisement and the same admonitions. But if we can overcome, like he talks about these overcomers, we can expect those same rewards and privileges to be granted unto us as well as was promised unto them. Amen. Now, I'm winding down, and I want you to pay attention to this statement. I got a paragraph here I want to read to you. It really doesn't matter what our earthly circumstances might be. It really doesn't matter where God's providence finds us, or what he sends our way. We should take heed to the Holy Spirit's message to these seven churches, that trouble may be our lot today, but the throne may be tomorrow. Amen. We may be a pauper today. Pretty bad shape. He said, you're broke there in Laodicea. You think you're rich, but he said, you're poor, wretched, you're blind, you're needy. We may be a pauper today, but we could be a prince tomorrow, sitting on the throne with the King. Amen? Amen. What I'm simply saying is this. This life we live, we're not living for this world. We're not just living for now. We're battling now so that we can enjoy the blessings of victory on the other side. We may face sorrow and suffering here, but they'll be shouting and shining over there. Amen. I want to be faithful unto the Lord. These letters were written to give us faith to overcome. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you got ears to hear, he said you better listen to this message. Turn back to 1 John. I'm quitting with this. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. 1 John 5 verse 4. We can hear the Word of God. We can hear the exhortation of the Spirit of God. If we'll obey it, we can overcome. 1 John 5, verse 4, here's what our Lord says. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. When I came into the auditorium from the prayer room, before Brother Steve got his own, before Mrs. Hall and Miss Elizabeth started playing the Amazing Grace song, before that they was playing a song, if I'm right, I believe they was playing Faith is the Victory. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. How do we get that faith? We get that faith by reading this book and applying what it says to believe that even though I've got struggles today, I can live for God and I can overcome these struggles and I can have victory down yonder on the glory side. Amen. There's coming a day when we can rejoice and reap the benefits and the blessings of overcoming. Now I want to ask the question, do you have Christ in your heart? Do you have that power to overcome that's not in the power of man? It's in His power. Amen. Have you tapped into that? Or are you just living in the flesh? You're trying to be a Christian in the flesh. Amen. Brother Brunson said this Wednesday night. He talked about his wife getting saved. He told me the story about it later. We were standing down here. Brother Brunson was preaching revival somewhere, and his wife didn't go with him. And I don't remember why he said she didn't go, what the situation was, but she didn't go. And he said that she went to their local church, which was the church he pastored, and he had a man preaching for him. That man preached that night, and he preached on this thought. He titled it, I believe he mentioned it here in the pulpit, he titled it, Saved on the Outside, but Lost on the Inside. Talked about being a hypocrite. Talked about being a Pharisee that cleans up the outside of the vessel and thinks that's all there is to it. And there's a lot of people that way, friends. They're in our Baptist churches. They're in our world everywhere we go. Got religion. Enough religion to clean the platter on the outside. Looks pretty good on the outside, but inside, they're full of dead men's bones. Full of corruption. Full of evil. Amen. Here's what our Lord's saying. The only thing that's going to overcome that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. You can't win this battle in your flesh. You will fail. But you can overcome if you'll give it to Him and trust Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank You again for the privilege to be in the house of God, the privilege to be able to try to proclaim these truths of God's words. We've studied this book of Revelation. It's been a blessing to me, been a wonder. I didn't expect it to be this in depth or go this far, but I want to thank You for it. It's been real encouraging to me. Father, I don't want to be just a nominal Christian. I know I've got salvation. I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to try to sit back and coast. Lord, help me to fight the good fight. Help me to keep under my body, to bring it in subjection, that on that day, I won't lose out in rewards. But on that day, I can be granted the reward. That I can hear You say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make You ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Father, I pray You'd raise up overcomers. Give us some young men and young women. Give us some grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads that'll determine in their heart that they're going to be overcomers for the glory of God. Not for a name or a recognition in themselves, but because our Savior, our General, deserves our allegiance, our dedication, and our willingness to be good soldiers. We want to please Him who hath called us to be a soldier. Help us, Lord, not to be entangled with the affairs of this life, but help us to cut loose those strands and live for Jesus. Lord, I pray, move in this invitation according to Thy perfect will. If there be somebody here today that's unsaved, bring them, Lord, I pray, to Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, obey the Lord. 153. If you need to come, obey the Lord while we sing.